I've been asked to give a word of testimony tonight. And I thank God tonight that I have a testimony. A testimony to the saving and the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a testimony, whenever I think about it, if you're asked or called to testify in a court of law, you're asked not to speak about yourself. And may the Lord help us and keep us ever from doing that. We're asked to testify about someone else. Maybe a character witness. Maybe about some incident that you've seen. But it's always about another. Psalm 40, perhaps you'll want to turn to it. You don't have to. But I always read, or almost always read, these words before I share anything to do with my testimony. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. And it's this same Lord that I'm testifying of tonight. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He, it's all about Him, inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Well, suppose my testimony starts. I might as well start at the beginning. There's no point in telling any lies. I'll go right back to the beginning. At 25 minutes past 2 in the morning, way back on the 30th of November 1977, I was born. And I thank God today that I was born into a Christian home, into a home where both my parents were believers. At that time, they were the caretakers of a little church just outside Lisburn, a Reformed Presbyterian church called Bailey's Mills. And I was taught the things of God from my mother's knee. I, initially, and then 11 months later, my sister came along and other brothers and sisters, I'm the eldest of five, we were sent along faithfully every Sabbath day to the house of God, sent along to a little Sabbath school that my mother taught in the afternoon. It was held in a local Orange Hall. In the church, out of the church, in the home, out of the home, I was taught the gospel from my mother's knee. And I thank God today for that. At 7 years old, we, at that stage, were going to the newly formed. You see, they must have built the Free Presbyterian Church in Ballinahinch just to coincide with my arrival. And I was a few months old whenever the church was opened. March 78, the church in Ballinahinch was opened. And at 7 years old, I knew enough. Didn't know too much, still don't. But I knew enough at that time that I needed to be saved. Every Sunday I stirred up at the Reverend Morrow, who was the then preacher in Ballinahinch. He's now retired. But Mr. Morrow had that text above his head, "Ye must be born again." And I understood what that meant. I knew that I needed to be born again. I knew why I needed to be born again. 7 years old, one Sunday night, I don't know the exact date, in the winter time, I come home and I asked my mother, could she point me to the Lord? I knew that I needed to be a Christian. She pointed me to the Lord that night. 7 years old, you don't meet many obstacles. Primary school, little country primary school. Everything seemed to go okay, no real pressure upon me as a young person. I didn't really care about what others thought at that age. But, and I have to admit, there was a but. All this changed whenever I left primary school, went along to the big school, tried to fit in, and I did not nail my colors to the mast. I didn't tell those in my class, those in my peer group, didn't tell those ones that I was a Christian. And I started just to drop back to doing the same old things that everyone else seemed to do. I got on quite well in high school. I hated primary school. But I got on quite well, and I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize that. Therefore, I did not nail my colors to the mast. I did everything to fit in. But it wasn't so much the things that I did do. It was the things at that stage that I didn't do. I didn't read this book. God's word for me was an unopened book at that stage. I failed not only to witness, but to read, failed to pray, broke down that communication link between the Lord and I. I failed in all those things. Then I started to do things to fit in. Started to use the filthy language that everyone else did. Started to smoke. Even though in primary school I was a member of the Smoke Busters. I didn't nail my colours to the mast. I was speaking to a group of young people from Queens on Wednesday night. And as I was thinking about that meeting, I thought of this. There's young people in the meeting tonight. In fact, every one of us. Especially if you're going to a new thing. I'm talking about school here. It's going to a new thing. I was looking out at all those students. The wee meeting was packed. What they do, or will do, in the first month of that course that they're on, or that new job, or that new school, the first month will define the rest of their lives forever. You think of that. That defined my life at that time. I was in the wilderness for years because I failed to nail my colours to the mast early on. And by the stage I recognised, and I use that word carefully, by the stage I recognised myself as a backslider, really, long before I recognised it, I was actually a backslider. Wouldn't have admitted it to others. Certainly not myself. And by the time I realised I was a backslider, I had been living a double life for a long time. I'd been going along to even things like the youth fellowship. My parents thought it was great. Paul's away to the youth fellowship. That's right, they called me Paul. It wasn't the Reverend Hannah then. Paul's away to the youth fellowship, but they didn't know that all the lads got together after youth fellowship, immediately it was over, and we all went to the Plough Bar in Hillsborough. They didn't know that. They thought they were all having this fellowship till 1 a.m. Far from it. I was living that double life as a backslider. That continued. I was sitting in the study today thinking about how long that was. Probably around 4 years, even though it seems a lot longer. 4 years I lived as a backslider, living that double life, until I started to get involved with a different group of young people. Can I encourage you, if you're a young person in the meeting, get involved with the right people. The right people. That's important. That's vital. I got involved in a different group of young people at that stage. Really, that was back in 98. You remember what was happening then? Politically? Because of the political situation in the land, I got involved with this new group of young people. Things were happening. But you know, these young people, most of them, were believers. They were lovers of Christ. Different from the peer group I'd been hanging about with for 4 years. I went to all those protests and all the rest of it, all those marches and stuff like that that those young people went to, but I also started to attend youth fellowship with them as well. They went to the martyrs. I started to go to the martyrs. I went along to the youth fellowship, and I started this time to listen, because this time I was there because I wanted to be. Whereas up until then, I was forced to go to church, even though I was maybe hungover on a Sunday morning. Forced to go to church, but this time I wanted to go to the youth fellowship. I went to my own youth fellowship. I went to the martyrs' prayer meeting. I went to our own prayer meeting. I went to various outreaches on a Thursday night down at Shaftesbury Square. Other things like that. Started to get involved as a young adult. You see, the Lord brought me back to Himself again. I thank God for those people. I don't know any of them now. Our paths have separated, but I thank God even yet for the influence that those godly young people had on my life. I came back to the Lord as a young man of 20-year-old back in January 98. And whenever I come back to the Lord, I started to get involved in all those things again. Involved, as our brother has mentioned already, in the youth work in Ballinahinch. I led the youth work for about a decade before the Lord called me away from that onto a different path. I started to read this book. Started to listen for the word of God in my life, for His will, for His direction that He would lead me at that time. Started to get involved in the students' fellowship in Tyndale, where I met my wife. started to get involved with that new group of friends that the Lord had given me. And I started to seek God's will for my life. It wasn't very long ago, or at least it seems like a flash in the pan ago, right, to bring you right up to January 2011. You see, the Lord had been working in my life before that. The Lord had been giving me challenges about full-time service, as we know it, even though I'm convinced there are many in the ranks of our churches who are involved full-time. They're not recognized as such. But the Lord was calling me full-time into His work, and I kept saying no. Anybody else? I can't do that. I'm quite happy where I am. Even though I was trying to fool myself in saying that. I used to do a lot of things. I run my own business, and I actually worked as a salesman selling batteries around Ireland, I suppose. And there was one particular route every Thursday. I don't have it here in my notes, but it just comes to mind. Every Thursday, I was battling with the Lord, you see. I kept saying no. For about 3 years, I said no to the Lord. And I remember this particular route. It was in the road from Londonderry to Limavady. There's a tree on that route. And I felt like cutting it down. Because there was a notice on that tree, and it said, very simply, God's way is the only way. I battled against the Lord. I kept saying no. But I came past that nearly every Thursday. The Lord was speaking to me and challenging me about something else. No matter what I did in life, everything seemed to work out well. But to me, it felt nothing but temporary. I knew the Lord had a plan. In fact, it nearly put me off reading the Word of God, because every time I opened its secret pages, I got another word to go down a route that I was resisting. Right back there in January 2011, the Lord sealed that call with me again in such a way that I couldn't say no any longer. Regarding, of course, college, call to full-time service, I remember filling in my application form. I was out in the van one day and I got the application form with me. It had been lying for a while in the van. And I filled it in and I posted it off. In fact, I remember ringing Mrs. Walkinshaw. This will get you a laugh. I remember ringing Mrs. Walkinshaw to send me my application form. I didn't know who she was or who would answer the phone. I was told someone called Linda would answer the phone. And I was speaking away to her for a while, and of course I got the third degree down the phone about who I was and what qualifications I had and all this. And as I'm used to dealing with people in sales, I said to Mrs. Walkinshaw, never do this, by the way, here's a tip. I said to Mrs. Walkinshaw, I'm sure you've never done it. Excuse me, sorry, what's your first name? I got a short shift. My name is Mrs. Walkinshaw, I'm the matron of the college. Well, I had to apologize. In sales, I find a lot of people are dilatory to give you their full details, their full surname. I used to ask for people's first name just to get on a rapport with them. I didn't do that again with Mrs. Walkinshaw. But I got my application form. I filled it in. It really seemed like a roller coaster ride from then. Everything seemed to go so quickly. You see, I was looking for any excuse to get away from college. Any excuse. Entrance exams. Oh, I'm stupid. My English. You had to do English, you know, to get into the college. I thought, I'll be okay. I speaks good English like the Queen does. When I told Mr. Curran that, he didn't laugh. But I came thinking, oh, I'm going to have to do entrance exams. There's my excuse out. They put me straight in. Couldn't believe it. Come through my session interview. I said to my clerk of session, I believe the Lord's calling me toward college. Yeah, thought that. I thought he would be the excuse to get away from it. The session would stop me. No, straight in. The Lord brought me through that four-year course. I was convinced when I was going in that I was in the Whitfield College of the Bible to do the 10-year course. Do you ever feel like that? I honestly thought, I'm not joking, honestly thought I was in to do the 6, the 7, the 8, the 9, maybe even the 10-year course. The Lord brought me through that four-year course in 4 years. Couldn't believe it. The Lord brought me through impossible things. All these wee squiggly lines. These men call it Hebrew. The Lord brought me through that all, and you know I had a love for it all. I loved every class. When I say that sometimes in front of my wife, she says, do you remember sitting up at 2 and 3 in the morning trying to learn them? Yes, but I asked the Lord to give me a joy for it. I don't think without that I would have got through. But the Lord brought me through. The Lord brought me through all those things. That was Monday, the 18th of September, 2011, right through to just over a year ago, where the Lord brought me through Bible college. Then the Lord moved in the hearts of those poor people down in Mount Marion, where the church there, they met and called me. I thought, that's impossible. They're only vacant 6 months. No church calls within a year. I've been in Mount Marion now since the 26th of February this year. And from the very moment we went as a family, it felt like we'd never been anywhere else. Like a hand going into a glove. The Lord is blessing. And we pray that the Lord might continue to help us as a congregation. You, I love the thing about Presbyterianism, we're all linked, we're all one. It was here at this very lectern that I accepted the call at Presbytery that Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church had extended to me to be their minister just a few months ago. And I have found, and this is my testimony about the Lord, I've found that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that friend that's spoken of right throughout the Scriptures. Do you know that anywhere you open your Bible, anywhere, you will find Christ? And to me, He is that friend. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We read of that in Proverbs 18, verse 24, the latter part of that verse. Maybe you're estranged from that friend. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you've never met that friend. I can heartily recommend him to you. I can't save anyone. Neither can this man or the church or any one of us. But you know what we are? This is all we are. This is all I am. A signpost. Oh, that I may point you to Him, the author and the finisher of my faith. Perhaps you're living a double life. As I was, may the Lord bring those two paths back into one again. May the Lord bless what has been of Him even through this testimony. May the Lord bless each one of us as we consider these things. Thank you, brother.